session, and the full committee does meet at 11, so I hope we can get through these timely. And so I'm opening the work session on the Department of Education federal grant applications. Sue?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and members of the subcommittee. I've provided for you a packet of information. There are three requests before you from the Department of Education to apply for grants from the U.S. Department of Education. I've got a cover memo that briefly summarizes those three grants. And just to keep things moving along, I'll just say that the Legislative Fiscal Office confers with the BAM recommendations to approve the request by the Department of Education to apply for the grant. One is a youth offender program grant for $350,000 from U.S. Department of Education's Office of Correctional Education to serve youth offenders in the areas of post-secondary education and transition services. Second one would be a $500,000 dropout prevention demonstration program grant to fund proven strategies to reduce the high school dropout rate. And finally, a $391,443 grant from the U.S. Department of Education's Office of Special Education and Rehabilitative Services for continuous improvement monitoring in regard to services to students with disabilities. And there are representatives from the Department of Education to answer any questions you may have.
Ms. Eaton, you said there's no match requirement?
That's correct, Mr. Chair. No match requirements, no continuing obligation once the grants expire.
Representative Schrader.
I'm going to move these, but please, yes, sir.
But is there any other comment or questions from the members? If not, why, please do.
Mr. Chair, members, I'd like to suggest we approve the federal grant application request for Youth Offender Program grant for $350,000 in the U.S. Department of Education's Office of Correctional Education, a $500,000 dropout prevention demonstration project grant from the U.S. Department of Education, a $391,443 grant from the U.S. Department of Education's Office of Special Ed and Rehabilitative Services.
Any discussion or questions? Yes, Representative Thompson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to take a minute to point out that this is very indicative of how the Department of Education does aggressively pursue grant proposal opportunities, and I think we need to appreciate that, too.
Especially when LFO suggests that they do some of this.
Thank you, both of you. Yes? Any other questions? Yes. Senator Trow.
You know, just in case in the full committee people ask questions about these, it might be helpful to have the department explain just a little bit about them.
That's a good point if you think we need, not now, but to the full. We want to get these on their way.
Okay.
Is that okay, Senator Shaw?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay.
Whoever carries them might be asked some questions.
All right.
Of course, Sue knows her.
Yeah. But that's a good point, and if you don't mind, Senator,
one.
I'd like you to carry it on the full, and so between now and then you can talk with. But why don't we take 5 minutes and hear from whoever has something to add, department or DAS, on these three grant applications. Please come forward and tell us what we should know. That's a good idea.
I think it wouldn't take long.
Yeah. Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself and tell us what we should know about these three grant applications.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Merced Flores, Associate Superintendent for the Office of Student Services at the Department of Education. I have the responsibility to tell you about the Dropout Prevention Demonstration Grant application to the U.S. Department of Education. We are very excited about this effort because we will be working with five school districts and five high schools and six middle schools. And it would be an effort to look at some strategies, some ways of successful ways of helping curb the dropout rate. We are very excited about this effort because it will look at the highest of the high. So we had the 10 highest high schools with the highest dropout rate, and we believe that we will look at strategies that will help curb some of that concern that they have and challenges that we have, that many schools have ahead of them. We also believe that this effort will give some strategies to other schools who are experiencing the same issues the opportunity to look at these strategies.
Question?
Yes.
We've heard a lot about the high rate dropout schools. Do you have those identified, and if so, can I have a list?
Yes. Mr. Chair, Representative Smith, yes, we do. We have, would you like that list right now? And also, I could provide you that list, a written list, but if you'd like, I could give you those.
A written list would be fine.
Okay.
Yeah, but it won't take you very long to read those. Would you please give them to us?
Yeah. The schools that we have right now identified, and again, we wanted to look at across the state, and we have 10 high schools. First of all, I'd like to list those high schools, the 10 high schools across the state. Umatilla High School, McLaughlin High School, Marshall High School, South Umpqua High School, Jewell School, Plymouth High School.
Merced, would you tell us what school district those are?
I'm sorry. Umatilla High School in the, I believe it's the Umatilla School District, McLaughlin High School in the Milton Freewater School District, Marshall High School, Portland Public Schools, South Umpqua in the South Umpqua School District, Jewell in the Jewell School District, Klamath High School in the Klamath Union High School District, McKay High School in the Salem-Keizer School District, South Medford High School in the Medford High School District, North Salem High School in the Salem-Keizer School District, Taft High School in the Lincoln County School District. But the five that we're working with are McLaughlin High School in Milton Freewater School District, Umatilla High School in the Umatilla School District, Marshall High School in the Portland School District, Taft High School in Lincoln County School District, and South Umpqua in the South Umpqua School District. We have one that we have not contacted of these schools, and that is the Marshall High School program out of Portland Public Schools. And if they do not wish to go with us, we are looking at one of the Salem-Keizer School District's high schools to work with. And I'll get a written copy of this for you, Representative Smith.
Yeah, for all of the committee members, please present the list.
Yes,
Senator Trowe.
What do you expect those high schools will do that's different because they have the grant? What sort of things will they do?
Mr. Chair, Senator Trowe, one of the things that we want to be able to do is look at strategies that have been successful. And we will provide the research, we will provide the opportunities for schools to look at what is successful and not successful. I know that they are trying very hard right now to look at what best works for them, but they need help. They would like to look at some of the models and maybe with staff and with extra resources, maybe do a few things different, possibly look at extended day programs, maybe looking at mentoring programs, looking at programs that they feel they could probably do something different if they had the extra resources.
Okay, other questions?
Okay, are you going to address one or three, or that's not
sure.
In your department?
I do have another question.
Certainly.
How does this fit in with the overall goal? We have a policy package, don't we, that deals with dropout? Are we funding that in the budget, some of it anyhow?
Mr. Chair, Senator Trowe, the policy opt-in package was eliminated from the budget on Saturday.
So this allows you to do some work there in that area, even though the policy package was eliminated.
Mr. Chair, Senator Trowe, let me correct that. It was not eliminated from the budget. Actually, it was reduced, but we're looking at other federal funds to be able to secure additional dollars to fund that policy opt-in package.
Some of the federal funds you're looking at?
Yes, sir.
Well, this is part of that. This is a way of helping the program. Okay. Thank you.
Okay, other questions? So are you going to, who's going to address number one, youth offender program?
Mr. Chair, that's, for the record, my name is Bob Seward. I work in the Office of Special Education of the Department of Education. Okay. I'm here to represent both number one and number three request to the committee. The Youth Corrections Offenders Program is a non-competitive grant opportunity for the department to receive funds to support post-secondary education services for young adults who are either incarcerated or on parole. The intention of this these grant funds are to provide tuition, support for school, books, and other resources so that these young adults can attend post-secondary education programs or receive the benefits of that education. This is a first year of a multiple-year opportunity for us. We're going to use this as for both planning this year and to initiate services with these young adults.
Sure.
Yes, sir.
As we send these youth offenders to post-secondary education, will they need a GED or a high school diploma to go on post-secondary?
Senator Hartung and Senator Tro, yes, these young adults are ones that have either received their GED or have graduated from elementary secondary education programs.
So that's a screening device.
Yes.
Okay. Sometimes community colleges will take kids that don't have those things and can help them get the GED or whatever else.
That is correct. And for many
kids
of the...
are not included.
That is true. For many of the children or young adults that are in these programs, community colleges and the Workforce Investment Council have provided resources for them to participate in these post-secondary programs. These funds will supplement those resources already being made available to increase the number of children that have this resource.
Other questions on item one? Not, give us item three.
The item three is a request from the department to apply for a federal grant through the U.S. Department of Education Office of Special Education Programs. This opportunity is a new opportunity. It's a new grant program made available to states. It's predicated on a system that the U.S. Department of Education is initiated last year for state monitoring that is conducted by the Department of Education in each state and trust territories. And the funding, this competitive grant funding opportunity, is to provide resources to states to participate fully in that monitoring system, provide us additional resources to develop capacity to respond to the required data that the U.S. Department of Education is asking for, and to help us with our planning process. Result of this monitoring process is, they now call it the continuous improvement monitoring process, is a plan for state improvements for special education based on their review, their report to us, and information that we gather about the status and the quality of services for children. Other states who have already participated for a year in this continuous improvement monitoring process have expressed that they've expended something in the neighborhood of $500,000 to $600,000 for a two-year period to go through the monitoring process, develop the plan, and start implementing the plan. So that's our expectation, that we would be expending approximately that amount of money. This $391,000 would help pay for those costs and make a better link between us and the U.S. Department of Education so that we can do a quality job.
Sure. When this grant runs out, obviously it's over and we have no more money from it, will we have a monitoring system in place then that will allow us to continue to do that?
Mr. Chair, Senator Tro, one of the expectations for the use of this $391,000 is to build our own capacity to develop systems, put them in place, and be able to continue to collect and analyze and use the data that we do collect for our own self-improvement, not necessarily at the behest of the federal government.
Students with disabilities are pretty much the responsibility of each school district, aren't they?
That is correct.
Yeah. And so are they going to be able to benefit from this monitoring? Will there be feedback to the school so that not only the department knows, but schools know?
Mr. Chair, Senator Tro, the department has actually been fairly aggressive in moving forward towards a continuous improvement monitoring structure of our own in-state and have been using that for a year. Mm-hmm. That matches with the federal monitoring process, their continuous improvement model, so that as we build the capacity to respond to federal requirements for data, we're also responding to our own needs for data to work with school districts. And we have been doing this, as I said, for a year. School districts are more than satisfied with the results. What we would like to do is be able to improve the system, provide better data and more assistance to them as they develop their own local improvement plans.
Thank you. Dave, do you have any comment on these three applications? You approve them, I suppose.
Yes, Mr.
Approve the grant request, okay. Is there any further discussion or questions? We have before us a motion to approve the three federal grant application requests. Is there any objection? Seeing none, hearing none, so ordered. We'll close the work session on the federal grant applications and open a work session on Senate Bill 466A. That's right. No. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the subcommittee. Senate Bill 466A engrossed was last before you for a public hearing on last Thursday. And at that time, Sue McGlashan has helped me by passing out to you some amendments for consideration. At the time of the public hearing, you heard that there would be no funding available for the purposes of the organization and startup expenditures for an annex property in Hood River County or territory going to the Columbia Gorge Community College District. At that time, the estimate that had been put forth and legislative fiscal office agreed with would be the startup cost was $942,000, but that funding is not available beyond the $45 million that is otherwise appropriated to the Department of Community Colleges and Workforce Development for enrollment growth. So with that, we do have for your consideration dash A3 amendments, which would do two things. One is to delete section one of the amendment, which was originally felt to be necessary on the basis that the annexation election would be held before the bill was passed. That isn't going to occur, and so Legislative Council and the Department agreed that the language is unnecessary at this time. Further, the dash three amendments would delete section three, which would have been a general fund appropriation to Department of Community Colleges and Workforce Development for distribution to Columbia Gorge Community College District for creating the Community College Center in Hood River after annexation. So what remains of Senate Bill 466 is the distinct provision that when that territory is annexed following an election, that the new territory would not be liable for debt that had been incurred by bond measures prior to January 1 of 2001 that had been approved by voters of the Columbia Gorge Community College District. And I believe the testimony was that that was helpful for formation or the annexation efforts.
Cam, would you please come to the table? Are you familiar with these dash three amendments? After you get checked in, yes.
For the record, Cam Preuss Frawley, the Department of Community Colleges and Workforce Development. Mr. Chair, yes, I am familiar. We did, Steve and I did discuss this change.
Question?
Yes.
My understanding, they just want some enabling legislation so they can go back home and have a vote. Is that right? Basically, that's all it is.
Mr. Chair, Representative Smith, that's right.
Okay. No biggie.
Yes, Representative Hobson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This may be a very basic question. Is there already a Columbia Gorge Community College District?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hobson, yes, there is, but it only includes Wasco County in its district when it was formed. That was the size of the boundary. As Hood River has had discussions over about the last year and a half about increasing the community college services in their area, they would need to go through an annexation process, which most often includes a vote of the people. So that, does that answer your question?
Follow up if I might. If you say increasing their community college opportunities, what are they now? What do they access? What do they use?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hobson, they currently have what's called a contract out of district, which is about $47,000 of state general fund that goes to Hood River County every year. They construct a contract with us, with our department, and there are match requirements, and they provide services to Hood River County with that $47 and the other match, both in-kind and financial match, from Hood River, either the county or the school districts all build out and try to offer. I think it's over $100,000 right now of service, community college services for Hood River County.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So in actuality, there isn't a Columbia Gorge Community College in and of itself. Would it be appropriate to see this as the precursor to the development of the Columbia Gorge Community College?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hobson, I'm not being clear. There currently is Columbia Gorge Community College District. It covers only Wasco County. We're now talking about having the Columbia Gorge Community College District cover Hood River and Wasco counties. And it would take a vote of the people of both Hood River County and the existing district of Wasco County to affirm such an annexation. And then it would be a district that included both counties, or at least the majority portion of Hood River County.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think I'm the one that's not being clear. Is there a Columbia Gorge Community College, period?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hobson, yes. Covering only Wasco County.
And where is that located?
In the Dalles. Mr. Chair, Representative Hobson, in the Dalles. It's in, Wasco County includes the Dalles and, I'm sorry, that's the only town I can think of. Arlington, I think, is in that county.
Where's the actual physical location of
the college?
Uh-huh.
In the Dalles.
Okay, gotcha.
On the hillside.
Gotcha.
In the Dalles.
Senator Cho.
Why does the bill talk about the Blue Mountain Community College?
That's incorrect. Gotcha.
Mr. Chair and Senator Cho, that was or is existing language that accommodated the same situation for annexation when Blue Mountain was taking in new territory, again to assure the voters of the annexing of
so
territory going in that they were not liable
for
prior.
So that's just old language that doesn't mean a thing with regard to this bill. Okay.
Correct.
Okay.
Any other questions?
I should know that.
Since Representative Hobson is now an expert on this, she moves that we adopt the -3 amendments to Senate Bill 466. Any discussion? Any objection? If not, so ordered. Wait just a minute. And now Senator Hobson moves the A and Goes Senate Bill 466 as amended by the -3 amendments to the full Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Let's see now. I understand. Has there an election been called for to do this? Or now that we are doing what we're doing, there will be an election called for, even though there's no money in this bill, of course?
Mr. Chair, that is correct. They have not had the election. They did feel they needed this debt relief in order to successfully launch.
Okay.
An election. It is currently planned for November of this year.
Okay. Any objection to sending this measure to the full Ways and Means? Seeing none, hearing none. It is passed.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Joel.
Can I ask what has been the tradition? Haven't we helped with these elections at other times with money?
Mr. Chair, Senator Tro, yes, in previous biennium there have been either direct general fund allocations or reserves in the at the emergency board to pay for the preparation of annexation, the election itself, and that portion of either a year or full year or 2 years of operation for a newly annexed territory.
So are we making a departure in this instance? We want them to have election, but they should pay for it. Is that what we're doing this time?
Mr. Chair, Senator Trout, what will happen now is staff will go back and see if we can help them afford the election, because it's that part precedent has been set, and it's, you know, the cost is not outrageous. But until the emergency board or the legislature in the 03 session affirm these boundary changes by allocating resources, they really, according to statute, are not affirmed. So it's with your vote of money comes the affirmation of the boundary change.
Okay, so we'll have to vote money for the boundary change later, and that will pick the election.
But in the meantime, you're going to have an election, didn't I understand you mm-hmm. say? Yes. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, affirming them requires an appropriation. Money.
Mr. Chair, that's correct.
Let's see.
I'm not sure how it works.
Yeah, me neither. Let's see, I guess we passed the bill to the mm-hmm. full way. Any other business to come before?
Carriers.
And the carriers will be?
Patty Smith.
This is to the full.
Full ways and means.
Yeah, and so it'll be Senator Trow and then to the House Representative Smith and to the Senate floor, Senator Trow. Okay. Any other business? If not, we are adjourned. We will have a 10 o'clock meeting tomorrow, Wednesday, and so far we're scheduled Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday at 10 o'clock.
Good. Senator, what time does the Senate convene today?